Committee on Finance and Revenue. We'll go right down the list today, and I think Paul says a quick day is what Paul says goes. Open a work session on Senate House Bill 2228.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 2228.
Senator George has moved that the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 2228. Any debate? Although there is no debate allowed, so.
Did you just?
Chair, I have strong feelings about this that I want to share with the community.
Those of the opinion the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 228 will say aye. Those opposed, no. Barbara will call the roll. And Robin will watch as she calls.
Aye.
Senator
George.
Aye.
Senator
Monroe.
Aye.
Senator
Stahl.
Aye.
Chair Deckard. Votes aye. Motion carries. The rules have been suspended. Senator George.
Mr. Chairman. Continuing, Mr. Chairman, I move we reconsider the vote by which we House Bill 2228 was sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator George has moved that we reconsider the vote by which House Bill 2228 was sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Senator Burke, we can discuss this motion.
Well, it's fraught with ramifications, Mr. Chair.
Got that for the record. Fraught with ramifications. Any other discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Monroe.
You want to tell us what we're going to do?
Mr. Chairman, I think this is you instead of members that's supposed to say the next thing. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm prepared that.
Is this conflict amendments, Mr. Chair?
That's what we're doing, right? Is conflict amendments?
Well, why did you just say so?
Okay. Well, I was actually enjoying our discussion. So we are doing the conflict amendments. Those of the opinion that we reconsider the vote by which House Bill 2228 was sent to the floor with the due pass recommendation, say aye. Those opposed, no. Barbara, call the roll.
Aye.
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 Votes aye. Motion passes. Okay, so we now need to adopt the conflict amendments. Mary.
This one?
Correct. Mary, do you want to give us any quick...
Do I have a conflict amendment?
Yes.
Only that it basically...
Mm-hmm. Senator George, okay. We're okay.
Okay.
Senator George.
Mr. Chairman, I move the -1 amendments to House Bill 2228.
Senator George has moved the -1 amendments to House Bill 2228. Discussion. Objections. So ordered. Senator George.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 2228 as amended with the -1 back to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator George has moved House Bill 2228 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Objections. So ordered. Thank you, Mary. Who was carrying that bill previously? Is it Senator? Doesn't have a carrier. Senator George, would you like to carry the bill?
Sure.
Great. Close the work session on Senate Bill 2228. Open a work session on House Bill 2095.
Okay. 2095A allows the Housing Authority to own, operate, and or manage a mixed income housing property by forming partnership agreements. And there was an amendment that was requested to clarify. Basically, it just simply adds words like general partner, director, or manager, and expands the legal status of the role of the housing authority to include a limited partner, member, or general manager of a mixed-income housing property. There was some discussion about the annual report that is going to change, no longer needed because it is available as a federal requirement. And so it's really just getting rid of some archaic language, and yeah.
Great. Senator George.
Dash 4, right?
Yeah.
Okay, move the Dash 4 amendments for House Bill 2095.
Senator George has moved the Dash 4 amendments to House Bill 2095. Discussion. Objections to that motion. So ordered.
All right, then amended House Bill 2095 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator George has moved House Bill 2095 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Objections. So ordered. Closed work session on House Bill 2095. Anyone in particular like to carry the Housing Authority's bill?
I can if you want.
Senator Monroe will carry the Housing Authority bill. Kind of relates to your TriMet days, your metro days.
Metro, housing,
mixed use,
land use,
mixed income,
stuff like that.
Okay. A bill that we've worked on a great deal, Senate Bill 179. Chris, and do we want to have Standard Insurance and Oregon Mutual? Do y'all want to talk about the amendment that you've had drafted following our last meeting?
Thank you.
Okay, so they nod. Department and Division of, they nod. Okay, Chris.
Mr. Chair, you have a copy of the Dash 3s in front of you, which are the amendments you were just referring to. Before we get into this, there were two technical problems with the Dash 3s that Ledge Council is fixing, and we are expecting a Dash 4 any minute now. So I can walk through these if you like and describe the substantive amendments. And there were just some wording changes that Ledge Council is working on right now. And we're expecting those literally any minute.
Let's do this. Let's have this bill come up last if we're going to get them any minute, and give folks a chance to quickly read them over. So Legislative Council, if you're listening, we're moving pretty fast this morning, but we'll just hold on and do that bill last. So do I? I don't close the work session. Close the work session. Recess the work session. Okay. That work session is on recess. Open a work session on House Bill 2104. Steve.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 2104A deals with the dormancy period for unclaimed property. The basic component of the bill is to reduce that dormancy period from 5 years to 3 years before the property is transferred to the unclaimed property account in the Common School Fund. This applies to financial institutions, insurance companies, and other holders of financial type property. There's two other minor changes. One is the notification change from certified mail to first class mail for net financial businesses to give notice to an owner of an held asset before it can impose any service charges, stop interest payments, or levying fees. And then for automatically renewable properties such as a CD, it allows the owner's consent to renew to be indicated by a financial institution sending a statement by first class mail or electronic mail without receiving notice that the statement is undeliverable. So it can go ahead and assume that the holders want the property to be renewed.
Great. Questions for Steve? Ready for a motion if folks are ready to move 2104.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator George.
I was reading something when I should have been listening. Do we have amendments, or is it ready to go as it is?
No amendments.
I'm not aware.
There was no amendment.
I'm not
okay.
aware of any.
Then I will move House Bill 2104A engrossed to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator George has moved House Bill 2104 as engrossed to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussions of that motion. Objections to that motion.
Object.
Senator Starr objects. So please note that Senator Starr objected. The motion carries. Senator Burdick, would you like to carry the Common School Fund?
Sure.
Senator Burdick will carry that bill. Okay. Last bill, although we're going to return to, and perhaps if we don't, Chris, if we don't get the amendments, we'll just recess for 15 or 20 minutes and allow folks to read the amendment to 179, the dash 4. Open a work session on House Bill 2229.
House Bill 2229 reduces the interest that is paid on a property tax refund to an amount equal to the portion of the refund that is not attributable to inaccurate reports, statements, or written information by the taxpayer, provided by the taxpayer. There was some discussion for and against the bill. Some, as noted in the issues discussed, talked about the fact that the department determines what constitutes taxpayer error, that they're not, the reporting errors are, let's say, difficult to define, and yet there's also quite a bit of information in the instructions, and so it's questionable whether or not the department, it's not questionable whether or not the instructions are clear. It's up to you to decide whether or not the department can determine what is an error.
Great. John, I don't see... John Marshall. Got a couple of times. Did you all have anything further to testify to on this bill?
No, sir.
No. And I don't even see the counties. So this is a bill we had up 2 weeks ago. Open to moving it if folks would like to move the bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator George.
Move House Bill 2229 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator George has moved House Bill 2229 to the floor with a due pass recommendation discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator George.
I'm going to be comfortable with this thing based upon the idea that we can always bring it back if we see things, you know, are not done fairly. And I think that's going to be the key, is to make sure that it's balanced and fair when the relationship to our constituents.
Certainly have a very active assessor, a good assessor in Yamhill County. Mm-hmm. I got to meet with him outside the, and that seemed to be one of the more active cases was the case in Yamhill.
We had two big ones.
Two big ones.
This is good law.
Any further discussion? Any objections to that motion? Did you make a motion?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Any objections to the motion? So ordered. Would you like to carry it?
I'll go ahead and carry
Senator it. George, I think the body would learn a lot by hearing about the two cases in Yamhill County.
You're the one. Yep. You're the man.
You're the man. Okay, so one bill left, Senate Bill 179. We will recess until... When do you think they'll have the amendments? I'd like to give people, I know it's just a few words. Okay, I'd like to give them 10 minutes once they get them just to ensure that it met. So let's say 9:40. We'll recess until 9:40 and give folks a chance to read the amendments and come back and move the dash fours. We stand in recess till 9:40. from recess, this time right on time, and reopen a work session on Senate Bill 479.
179.
Whoever caught that, thank you very much.
We all did.
These guys are all now very good at catching me, get my bills. Thank you, everyone, for 179. And, Chris, we got the Dash 4 amendments.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the Dash 4 amendments essentially contain four changes over the Dash 2s that you heard last week. And what those are, the first one, there was reference to premiums received. And that language has been changed to premiums received or earned because some insurance companies don't receive. There was a difference there in which information gets reported on the annual statement. The point there is to take the number that is reported on the annual statement, and that's one of the simplification aspects. Language, if you're looking at the original bill, page 2, lines 27 through 30, that's a subsection 2 that dealt with what will be the historical apportionment percentage. That was language that was agreed upon between during the group that met last Wednesday morning.
And who was in that group?
That was the Department of Revenue, Oregon Mutual, and Standard Insurance.
Legislative Revenue.
And Legislative Revenue, yes, I was there. So that language has been deleted. And then one of the other technical changes, the effective date for the single sales factor had originally read applying to tax years beginning on and after January 1, 2007. That and has been changed to an or.
What's the effect of it, Mr. Chair?
Yeah, Norman.
What's the effect of that?
I have some questions.
The language being a tax year cannot begin on January 1st and after January 1st. So that would actually apply to no taxpayers. So by changing the language to tax years beginning on January 1st or after January 1st, 2007, it affects all of the taxpayers. The starting date is January 1, 2007.
Okay.
A very big technical, that was one of the technical differences we're waiting for this morning.
Okay. So does that have ramifications on the case Oregon Mutual has with the department? Steve or the department, I don't know if y'all want to discuss.
Chairman,
you better come up.
We have to.
Steve Patterson,
need to be a
Mutual.
Friend of the committee here.
The bill seeks not to affect either that case or anybody else's who might have an appeal, and that's why that language in on the second page, line 27 through 30, was removed. So that and with the language that's added that allows the department and the taxpayer to actually discuss and come up with what would be a fair apportionment, at least going back and into the future, if there's some question of unfairness, the parties get to work on it. And the Stonebridge case, the court basically told the Department of Revenue, you don't have the ability to change this, and the taxpayer doesn't either. The legislature said what the factors were. You're stuck. And so this fixes that problem. And so from our standpoint, the issues we've had and some that are ongoing are still a matter that we can work with the Department of Revenue on.
But prospectively, this will provide certainty for what your tax environment will be in Oregon, prospectively.
Absolutely. It does leave some flexibility for the Department of Revenue if somebody were to claim that it was unfair with the taxpayer. But we've, you know, scratched our brains trying to figure out what would be more fair than your sales, you know, compared to elsewhere, and can't figure out who would be able to argue that that wasn't fair. So we think this is good guidance and does provide certainty.
Department nods. Strenuous nod. We don't usually get that solid of a nod at the department. Thank you, Steve.
I was thinking of this bill to go away.
That's true. Although, the Senate bill.
Yeah.
Okay, Chris, we got you off off point.
Well, I guess I just wanted to conclude. The effect of the bill is to, starting January 1st, 2007, for the insurance companies, it will be a single sales factor. And that'll be, that's the prospective language. For tax years beginning prior to January 1st, 2007, essentially the law remains unchanged. There, what is modified in the bill is, as you just heard, was some flexibility that would allow the Department of Revenue and a taxpayer to come to some other agreement for a different apportionment formula if circumstances warranted. Now, that situation, after a couple of years, it will go away, because that would only be through tax years 2006. So prospectively, it gets at that certainty. It's a single sales factor. And there is language in here that if for some reason a taxpayer or the Department of Revenue feels that the result of applying a single sales factor results in some unconstitutional or some result that does not accurately reflect that taxpayer's activity in the state, then they can agree to some alternate apportionment percentage or alternate apportionment factor.
Correct.
Sounds good.
And the changes to the dashboard do not affect the revenue impact that you heard last week, so that remains unchanged.
Questions for
Chris?
Yes, Senator Monroe.
So we don't need the dash three amendments? They're encompassed in the dash four?
Correct.
Okay, good. Let's go.
Lana Butterfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Lana Butterfield, and I'm here today representing American Family Insurance. And gosh, I hate to come up and say I'm the big loser here, but American Family tells me that if it goes from a three-factor apportionment to a single sales factor, this would have increased their taxes on the property casualty side by $560,000 for 2005. And they are not even close to a retaliatory situation for the property casualty side due to their extremely low Wisconsin PNC premium tax rate. So American Family is one of the losers under this. We don't intend to oppose this on the floor. I do, my client hasn't seen the dash fours, and they wanted to take a look at it and maybe over on the House side look at maybe a little more closely section 3, sub 3. I understand that you've worked this out with the department. They want the opportunity just to see if there's something that might strengthen, what is fair for them. So thank you for the opportunity to come up.
Thank you. Any questions for Lana? Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I appreciate the testimony. I appreciate the candor. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Senator George.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to try to move the dash four amendments. And I'm not really that emotional about it.
I think this was one of the first bills we heard all session long. This was like in January we heard this bill. So you can be emotional if that, although you're not. Senator George has moved the dash four amendments to Senate Bill 179. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman,
yes,
just to continue what Senator Monroe said, and I just really appreciate the way everyone has operated in good faith here, and I think the product is way beyond what I was hoping for, so I think it's good work by the committee and especially by our partners who have worked to come up with this resolution.
Yeah, no, it's great to see Standard and Oregon Mutual, two great Oregon companies together and hopefully getting an important bill through, at least the Senate at this point, and on its way to the governor's desk. Further discussion.
We can just hope that American Family becomes an Oregon insurer and then Oregon-based insurance company. There we go.
That's a good point. This should be extra incentive to do that. Any further discussion of the dash four? Objections to the dash four? So, Senator George.
Then move Senate Bill 179 as amended to the floor of the due pass recommendation.
Great. Senator George has moved Senate Bill 179 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Objections to that motion. So, order. It's an important bill for McMinnville. Senator George,
be happy to
carry the bill. And we are adjourned until tomorrow.
Thank you.